But this morning's message here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is a good reminder to all of us that are Christians that God expects us to be constantly judging ourselves in light of His Word. Now, we looked at this passage when we looked at the seven judgments of Jesus Christ, but I thought it'd be good for us to delve into it a bit deeper and make sure we understand how important it is that we as God's children be constantly evaluating ourselves in light of His Word, so that we don't stray, if you will, off the path that He has chosen for us. Notice chapter 11, verses 27 and down into verse 32. He says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." So our title this morning is Judge Ourselves. Let's go to the Lord. Lord, we love You so much. We thank You for the privilege of meeting here this morning, opening Your Word together, worshiping You in song and giving. Now, Lord, I pray that You'll quiet our hearts and we'll open them to hear from You. We would learn and listen and respond to the Holy Spirit, and that You would be glorified and guide us in Your truth. We love You and give You this service. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul here is reminding the church at Corinth, many of them had abused the Lord's Supper, which is very important, very precious to God. And for that reason, as he says there in verse 30, he says, "For this cause, because many of them had abused the Lord's Supper," that many of them who were wealthy had used as an excuse to show off their wealth by having a big feast and not inviting others, and others had actually used it as an excuse to get drunk, believe it or not. And he says, "For this cause, many of you Corinthians are weak and sickly, and many sleep." Now, when God uses the word sleep, and if he's referring to Christians, he's referring to physical death, because we never die spiritually. We just go on to be with the Lord. That's why he uses the word sleep. Jesus used the phrase when he was talking about Lazarus. And the disciples said, "What's good that he sleeps? He needs his rest." And that's when Jesus plainly said, "He's dead." But God uses this word to talk about Christians that have died. And he's saying that many of these Corinthians died or were sick as punishment from the Lord. And that's what this passage is all about, is chastisement of God's children who refuse to judge themselves in light of the Scriptures. If you would look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul here is talking about another situation at the church at Corinth where a man had began to live with his mother-in-law, and it was public knowledge, and he was bringing reproach onto the church because everybody knew about it. It was bringing a bad name on the church. And so what Paul said here in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 5, it says, "To deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." So he says, essentially, you need to kick him out of the church. You need to discipline him and remove him from the church and let Satan kill him. But he's still saved. He's still going to go to heaven. And it's hard for the world to grasp this concept, isn't it? They believe in karma. They believe consequences and so forth. But if you're a born-again Christian, you're going to heaven. And that's done and that's sealed and that's settled. Amen? Now, if you sin, God will deal with the sin, but he does it as a father with a child. He chastises us. The punishment for our sin is to go to hell. But that punishment was paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. And now, as his children, we may need chastisement along the way. We will need it at one point or another, and God expects us to, verse 31, judge ourselves. And that's what our passage is about today, to judge ourselves. He said there in verse 28, "Let a man examine himself." Nowhere in the Scriptures are we told to examine others, by the way, even though we enjoy it quite quite a bit, don't we, in our flesh? It's just not there. We're not ever told to look at the sins of others, to look at the Christian life of others and make judgment calls and so forth. If they're a child of God, God can handle it. Amen. He's a good father and he knows everything. He doesn't need our help, in other words. Now, if it's an unsaved person, they aren't going to have any chastisement because they're not God's child. They're the devil's child. And until they get saved, their punishment is coming. It's hell. You know, the Pharisees didn't understand this, did they? If you go to John 8:44, Jesus definitely here in John chapter 8 was not trying to win friends and influence people when he was talking to the Pharisees, even though all the people were afraid of the Pharisees because they felt like the Pharisees were showing them the way to heaven and they didn't want to offend them. Of course, Jesus came on the scene and said, no, you're showing people the way to hell. People trying to earn heaven through keeping the law, and you can't do it. And that's when he said here in John 8:44, and he's speaking to the Pharisees specifically. He says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. Every unsaved person is not a child of God. Now, God created mankind, but that doesn't make us his child. We're not his child until we are adopted into his family as one of his children, and that doesn't happen until we are saved or born again. But this passage is written to the saved. And he says, verse 31, we are to judge ourselves. This is a command from God. Look at 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. And this is something that we need to be doing every day in our prayer time. We need to not just ask for things, but we need to stop and give the Holy Spirit an opportunity as we're reading the Word of God to show us what we need to change. Now, everybody in this room that's a Christian knows you're not there yet. Amen. You're not like Jesus yet. You still make mistakes. You still sin. And the Holy Spirit is there to help us. But notice 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Nowhere in there does he tell us to examine others, does he? You won't find it in the scriptures. Now look in James chapter 1 quickly if you would. James chapter 1. And God explains that the Bible is like a mirror. He refers to it as a glass, but he's talking about a mirror. And when we read it, when we study it, when we go to church and hear it taught and preached, one of the things it does is it reflects back to us the areas where we need work, if we're willing to examine ourselves in light of Scripture. Notice James chapter 1, verse 23. For if a man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. When we look in the mirror in the morning, if we've got some hair sticking up, we try to put it back down. When we open this book, the Holy Spirit points things out in our hearts and our lives that need changed. And that's what he's telling us is we have to do on a regular basis is we must examine ourselves in light of Scripture. David understood this. If you go to Psalm 26 and verse 2, David wasn't perfect. He was a man after God's own heart, but he wasn't perfect. David sinned. And David understood the need to constantly examine himself in light of God's word. Notice Psalm 26, verse 1. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Verse 2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Examine me. He's inviting the Lord to examine him. And then if you look at Psalm 139, we will find the words to that hymn that we sing, Cleanse Me, O Lord. Psalm 139, verse 23. How many Christians are willing to pray these words in their quiet time? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now examine ourselves, judge ourselves in the light of the Word of God is really one of the keys to the Christian life. And we're not going to grow without it, because there's always an area that we need to be more like Jesus. There's always an area where we're failing God, where we have this besetting sin. God's there to help us. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. But we have to be willing to be honest about where we are. And never in the Scriptures, look at Matthew chapter 7. Even the world knows verse 1 of Matthew chapter 7, because they use it against us all the time, don't they? What's it say, Matthew 7, 1? Judge not that ye be not judged. The world knows that verse. But look at verse 3 of Matthew chapter 7. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? And yes, he's talking about a literal beam versus a splinter. What's he teaching us? We need to be focused on this beam rather than that splinter. We need to be judging ourselves in the light of this book. Not in the light of somebody's list of standards, but in the light of God's Word. You know, that's one of the reasons why we go to church, isn't it? Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, a lot of people that go to church and all they hear is stuff to make them feel good, make them happy. Well, that, you know, sometimes it doesn't make you that happy when you find out you've got sin you need to deal with. Sometimes it hurts. You know, when Jesus preached, usually when he preached, what he preached wasn't to make people feel good, was it? It often made them angry. At one point, it made them so angry they nailed him to a cross. But he gave them what they needed, and that's how the Word of God works, is the Holy Spirit will use it in a miraculous way, because it's quick and powerful and sharpened in a two-edged sword, if we will listen, and if we will then judge ourselves in light of Scripture. So the alternative here in our passage, 1 Corinthians 11, is chastisement. Now chastisement, again, is reserved only for Christians. Notice he says, verse 32, when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. Chastisement is different than the punishment of hell. They're two different things. When we chastise our children, when they disobey us, that is not paying for the transgression, is it? That's not the point. I used the illustration when we taught on this earlier of a child playing outside with a hard ball and saying, don't throw that toward the house or you'll break the window. And of course, what usually happens? They break the window. Well, we warned them in advance, and so now we have to chastise them with the rod of correction on the seat of understanding. But does that pay for the window? No. We still got to fork out the money and get a new window put in. So why did we chastise them? Was it to pay for the window? No, it was to teach them. It meant that there's consequences for sin. There's consequences for doing wrong. That's the purpose of chastisement. That's why God chastises us. Not because he's mean, because he loves us. And he's doing what is best for his children. He says in Proverbs, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. When God does chastise us, don't get angry at God, he's saying. Now look at Hebrews chapter 12, if you would, and we'll understand a bit more about this matter of chastisement that is needed when we will not judge ourselves and make the changes the Holy Spirit tells us to make in light of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, here he's quoting Proverbs 3, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou rebuked of him. So when God chastises us, what he's saying is, the last thing you should do is get angry or mad at God. Instead, you need to stop and say, I've been sinning, and God's telling me about it, and I need to respond properly. Amen. Verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Why do we chasten our children? Because we love them. Not because we enjoy inflicting pain upon them, but because we love them. We're trying to teach them right and wrong. We're trying to raise them right. God chastens us because he loves us. Amen. And verse 7, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. I've circled that word all in my Bible. As I've had Christians tell me before, I've never had any chastisement in my whole life. You know what I say to that? You need to make sure you're saved. Because God says all are partakers. Amen. Then are ye bastards and not sons. In other words, you're fake sons. You claim to be a son, but you're not. Verse 9. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. In other words, sometimes our parents make mistakes. Wow, imagine that. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his what? Holiness. That's what it's all about. Trying to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ so that we will be holy. Verse 11, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. When a child gets the rod of correction on the seed of understanding, do they enjoy it? Of course not. It doesn't seem joyous at the time. It seems grievous. It's painful. It makes us cry. But he says, nevertheless, afterward, verse 11, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So Paul is explaining to us that if we will not judge ourselves in light of Scripture and make the changes the Holy Spirit teaches us that we need to make, the next step is chastisement from the Lord. Because we need it. Look at Revelation 3:19. Jesus here is writing to the churches. And look what he says about it. Revelation chapter 3, verse 19. The Bible says, as many as I love, this is Jesus talking. He's talking about his love for us. As many as I love, I rebuke and what? Chasten. Jesus loves us so much that he's willing to chasten us when we need it. So what do we need to be doing but examining ourselves, judging ourselves in the light of Scripture? So if you'll go back to our passage, he makes an interesting statement here in 1 Corinthians 11. So number one, we see in verse 31, we must judge ourselves. Number two, if we don't, we will face chastisement. And number three, verse 32, but that we should not be condemned with the world. Now this is an aspect that we don't think about very often. But if we claim to be Christians, we're claiming to be followers of God, amen? Followers of Jesus Christ. We're claiming to be his children. And when we sin, it brings reproach on our Father's name. Because we're not acting like a child of God. Should. And this is another reason why God has to chastise us. Because he doesn't want his testimony ruined by his children. You know, when he called out Israel, he started with Abraham, and eventually there was this great nation. And one of the things he told them, he says, not only do I want you to obey because it's the right thing to do, but I want you to obey my law because I want you to be a testimony to the nations around you. of what can happen when someone puts God first, how God blesses that nation. Now, for the most part, Israel failed in that regard, did they not? And so God had to what? Step in and chastise them because they were constantly ruining his testimony. And this is an aspect that we often don't think about, that we should not be condemned with the world. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, and we'll see this again. If you go to the supermarket and you see a child fall on the floor and throw a screaming, kicking fit in the supermarket, and they're kicking their parents and throwing stuff, we've all seen it before. What are you thinking in your mind? You're not thinking, oh, that child. You're thinking, oh, those parents. It's the parents that allow this to go on. It's the parents that are raising their child in such a way that they behave this way in the supermarket. It's the same with God. When we act like the world, when we sin, and we claim to be followers of God and children of God, what does the world say? Those hypocrites. Why would I want to be a Christian when Christians act like that? And so it reflects badly on our Father, doesn't it? 1 Peter 4:16, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? You think it's God's will that we scarcely be saved? In other words, we get into heaven by the skin of our teeth? No. It's God's will that we serve him and that we honor him with our lives and with our behavior. Amen? Not that we just get saved and cruise our way to heaven and act like the world. So God has to step in, as we see here in 1 Corinthians 11, and say, you're my child. You claim to make me your master and your Lord, and you're acting like a child of the devil. I have to deal with it. And that's called chastisement. So, simple passage, simple truth, but something we need to implement in our Christian lives. Amen? Set aside some time in your time alone with God to allow him to speak to you. Don't do all the talking, in other words. And let it be a two-way conversation. Amen? And here's how he speaks to you. Spend some time in here and allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate areas in your life through this mirror that God wants you to change. And by the way, God will help you change them. Amen? Because he's living in you. He's there, ready to help. So we need to judge ourselves in the light of Scripture. If we choose not to, we're going to face chastisement. And part of the reason for that is not only because God wants what's best for his children, but he wants his children to be a good testimony to him of that he's a great God. Amen? Our behavior should be saying that to the world. God is wonderful. God is powerful, but God is holy. And our behavior should be saying that. And when we act like the world, we're saying the opposite. And so God has to do something about it. So as it says here, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. In other words, God won't have to chastise us if we'll judge ourselves. If we choose not to, he will. And he'll get us there one way or another. We can go the hard way or the easy way. Amen? Let's go the easy way. Let's spend time in here praying what David prayed. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Judge ourselves. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your precious word and this beautiful reminder of how important it is that we constantly be judging ourselves in the light of your precious and powerful word. And then responding accordingly. Lord, that we might be more like Jesus every day, every week, every month. Help this to be true. And Lord, when you do chastise, may we not get angry, but may we instead realize what you're trying to say. and thank you and respond properly. Lord, if there's someone in our service not born again, I wasn't preaching to them that they need Jesus. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And I pray they'll realize Jesus died and rose again for them and offers them eternal life if they will but repent and make him their Savior. And I pray they'll do that today. Those of us that are Christians, may we be honest with the Holy Spirit. If we have not been allowing you opportunity to speak to us through your word and show us areas in our lives where we need to judge ourselves, Lord, may we make those adjustments. May we commit that to prayer even this morning, maybe at the altar in our chair. Your will be done in our hearts. We love